The European View Podcast. Your place to navigate the insights of our policy journal, brought to you by the Martins Centre, with Sarah Pini.
Hello, and welcome to the European View Podcast, your new way to navigate through the main issues of our policy journal with valuable insights from the author themselves. I'm Sarah Pini, Senior Research Officer at the Martin Center, and today we're going to speak with Michael Benamou, Executive Director of OPY, Europe's War Institute, about his article, Next for Europe, Defining Its Own Battlefield Tactics. You can find this and all the other articles of the latest issue of the European View on our website, martincenter.eu. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, Sarah.
So, your article, I think it's as topical today as it was when it was written, and it will still be for many years to come, right? Basically, your main point is that as Europeans rediscover the importance of a proper European defense, they must also redefine their own military concepts and no longer rely solely on US military doctrine. What should be, in your view, the main pillars of this European tactical warfare?
Well, Sarah, we have been living a wonderful dream, a wonderful American dream since World War II. Thanks to the American protection, we did not have to think warfare. But now that Americans are withdrawing, and this is not something that is about Trump, this is something that you can see since the end of the Cold War. We went from 300,000 troops, American troops, to 100,000 troops. Given these figures, and given what we know of America's society, its evolution, the fact that it will be less and less white Protestant, you know, in the coming decades, that all means that Europeans will have to reintegrate warfare and the military again. The good news is that we have a strong base to do so. You know, NATO has pages and pages, dozens of doctrinal concepts, interoperability maneuvers that we can draw inspiration from. And so we will not start as Europeans. We will not start from scratch. But yes, definitely, it is quite likely that in the coming 10 years, NATO is going to be Europeanized, which means that the Americans are going to limit their support and that Europeans will have to very quickly take over NATO buildings, NATO institutions, and also NATO doctrines, and readapt these doctrines, the way you fight, basically, according to European interests, according to European history, geography, anthropology. That work is important because it will be the foundation for everything else. It will be the foundation for prioritizing capacities, you know, choosing between instruments, choosing between weapon systems, choosing between land, air, and navy. It's also going to be the base of the way we respond to threats and how we decide which geography is more important than another. So I think this conceptual work is extremely important, has never been done in history. And that we should indeed start it very soon.
But do you think we are mentally and politically ready? Because as you said, the US started to deprioritize Europe a while ago. It didn't start now, it's not. But at the same time, let's say that the latest anti-NATO rant from Trump maybe scared a bit, and maybe this is the way Europe works. We are moving forward faster when we are scared.
No, I think it's habits, first of all. You know, as Proust used to say, humans are monsters of habits, and so we're used to American protection and American intellectual ideas and dominance. And but now it's time for us to grow up, and I think we can do it. I think we have the demography to do it. I think we have the money to do it. We are a rich continent. I still think we have the industries to do it, even though we need to ramp up industrial production. Yes, I think it's about the realization now, the realization that we have enemies knocking at our door, Russia, the Islamic State, and this deserves a response. Otherwise, opponents, seeing that America is leaving, will think, oh, wow, there is an opportunity here. We have a rich continent which refuses to protect itself. You know, this is an opportunity. We should attack to increase our, you know, territorial gains, and also to loot this rich European continent. So to avoid that, which is something that has already started, to avoid that phenomenon, these aggressions, we need to reinforce that autonomy now together as Europeans.
Let's hope. Your article focuses on three main points, right? And the first one is the balance between defense and attack. And you briefly mention the war in Ukraine as an example. Since then, do you think the evolution of the war proved you right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a bit arrogant to say that, but I believe that the paper we wrote together in the summer proved right on almost every chapter, defense and offense. I mean, you remember the conversation we had during the last summer when I told you that that defensive operations will be the future of Ukraine in 2024, and that we are not ready for this. We are not ready because in NATO and in the US, defense is equated to weakness, is equated to a lack of energy. This is not something that I'm inventing. This is something that you can read in US and NATO doctrine. And I think it's unadapted to European tactical realities. And this is something that Ukrainians are facing now. Not thinking defense is serious, you know, because it means that you do not have the defensive equipment, you know, on time. And the Ukrainians failed to switch from an offensive mode to a defensive mode. And because they have not done this in the proper timing, their forces during this winter did not have the right winter equipment to face the Russians and to face Russia's new artillery and manpower. So this has consequences. It's not just intellectual ideas, you know. This then has impact on the field. And the same thing goes on what we wrote on the balance between land, navy, and air force. I think we see in Ukraine that land force is the major arm of the three, because there is no air dominance, and because navy is a secondary component to this battlefield. And this is something which Europeans are not really ready for, because we have, especially in Western Europe and in Northern Europe, we have sacrificed our land forces to the benefit of the Navy and of the Air Force, believing that, you know, with planes that we can dominate everything. It is not the case anymore. We're facing opponents who have strong air power and air defense systems. And so we need to reinvest land forces. And that also goes into the conversation on quality versus quantity. Land forces is about quantity. And the war in Ukraine and also Gaza, but other, you know, conflicts, you know, and tensions such as jihadism in Europe, all of that shows that we need quantity, you know, personnel, ammunitions, over quality, over high tech, for example, expensive planes, expensive ships. The Americans are doing that right now. The Pentagon, a week ago, has decommissioned new combat helicopters. Why? Because these combat helicopters are costing $100 million a piece. One missile to destroy this helicopter is costing $500,000. And so so the Pentagon is adapting, and I believe we should also adapt. And the last point is that the paper was about was on intelligence, if you remember, on the fact that with new software and AI, we were led to believe that we could see everything and understand everything, and this proved untrue in Gaza, obviously. I think the Israelis were too confident with these new AI systems and forgot what we call in the army human intelligence, collecting intelligence from the ground, which again requires land forces, you see?
Yeah. So you already answered my following question. So let's just now pass to the paper that you are now writing in collaboration with the Martin Center. It's a collective paper, actually. It's a follow-up of our 7Ds project. This will be 7Ds in-depth defense. And you're writing one of the chapter of this publication, which will be released beginning of March. Can you anticipate us some of the conclusions of your part, of course?
Yes, I can deliver some secrets here. I will try. I mean, as I said a bit earlier, it is quite likely that NATO is going to be Europeanized, meaning that 70% or 80% of the budget and of the personnel will be European. And now it's not the case. You know, now 70% of the budget is American. This is going to change. So you will have that effort, and then you will have a side track of European institutions ramping up their conceptual and capacities activities. I guess the question of the paper, the new paper of the 7Ds, will be how do we integrate, you know, the notion that Europeans need to think about warfare within current European institutions. So right now you have institutions in place doing that, especially the EUMS, the European Union Military Service, but also the ESDC, which is Europe's training school. So these two institutions will probably lead that new European warfare, these new European warfare ways. But this effort will most likely be backed by the European Parliament, you know, which should have a say, and also by the EDA, the European Defense Agency, because that will feed into the prioritization of the EDA effort. And God knows that we need a bit more clarity as to what the priorities of the European Defense Agency should be. So. So the paper will be about that, about how do we implement this, given that, you know, we still have NATO and NATO remains essential. It is number one organization right now for Europe's protection. But at the same time, you need the EU to ramp up. The next 10 years are going to be tricky. It's going to be a transition decade. And so we have to be really careful about what we do, how we do it, and making sure that information is exchanged between the two organizations.
I would say I'm looking forward to reading it, but I've already read it. So I just would just suggest our audience to watch out for it when it will be published quite soon. So thank you very much, Michael, for joining
Pleasure.
Us. And for those listening in, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and discover all the interesting insights of the European View on our website, martincenter.eu, and on our social media channels. Thank you, and stay tuned for more.
Thank you, Sarah.
This was the European View podcast, your place to navigate the insights of our policy journal. Follow the Martin Center for more.